Thanks for tuning in to the Illuminations Podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Illuminations World Podcast. I'm your host, Nia. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist and graphologist here at Illuminations. So just like every episode, we are back with another title, with another speaker, and I am particularly excited about this one because coming from an engineering background, I always had this very logical side of me, or the skeptical side of me. And what this industry, what it has taught me, that there is so much out there in this world that we as human beings are yet to be exposed to, or we know very little about. And one of those things would be shamanism for me. And I would love to introduce our guest for today. He is Mr. Mark Mallett. He is a shaman as well as energy healer and transpersonal coach and hypnotherapist. So this episode is all about sacred shamanism, journeying into the conscious conversations with the creator and the spirit world. I cannot wait to get into this, because on this episode, we will be embarking on an enriching journey into the depths of the consciousness with sacred shamanism. And it will be guided by the wisdom of our very own guest, Mr. Mark Mallett, and he's a very insightful host. We explore ancient practices and engage in profound dialogues, bridging the earthly and the ethereal realms, dwelling into the transformative power of shamanic rituals, unraveling reality's fabric, and embracing spiritual enlightenment. So let's step into the realm where intuition and energy intertwine, harmonizing souls with the universe. So join us on this awakening journey as we seek enlightenment and wisdom through conscious communion with the creator and the spirit world. So welcome, 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 Mr. Mark. It's such a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you, thank you. I'm glad to be here. And that's a mouthful. That was a big introduction. Hallelujah, I'm ready.
So, you know what? Let's just get to the basics, shall we? Because
sure.
We have a lot of listeners who are probably very new to this. So give us the very introduction. What exactly is shamanism?
Shamanism, it's probably the oldest spiritual practice ever known by mankind. Now, it's all sacred to me. You have all sorts of shamanism. You have shamans in every culture, in the Middle East as well. We probably don't call them shamans. But a shaman is somebody who has one foot in this duality here and one foot in the spiritual world.
Mm.
And they bring healings and knowledge and wisdom and insights.
Yeah.
So we can practically use them here in this duality, here in this dimension.
So what's your story, Mark? How did you get into this?
Good question. It's a long story. It was actually a calling. I studied hypnotherapy first, and I was always trying to develop and enhance my skills as a hypnotherapist. And you know, you're a hypnotherapist yourself. And I believe until today that shamans are the best hypnotists. Now, that's just my opinion. There are probably some hypnotists who will not agree with me, but from what I've seen and with my experiential knowledge and the things I've been through, I really believe that the shamans are the best hypnotists on the planet.
So what's the role of, so you mentioned, shamans bring in the healing, having access to both the physical world that we're in as well as the ethereal world. And you mentioned that it is to bring healings, but how are shamans different from priests or any other religious idols, let's say?
Well, in shamanism, there are no dogmas, for one. So to me, spirituality is the essence of religion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some priests are shamans. If you're talking to Creator and you get insights and answers from Creator of all that is, or Source, or whatever you want to call God, Goddess, then you're a shaman. If you're bringing insights from your spiritual guides or Goddess herself, then you're a shaman. It's just that simple. To me, shaman, the definition is not a huge one. It's very simple for me. You're traveling, journeying in other dimensions, and you're bringing back knowledge, wisdom, and healing in this dimension. As simple as that.
So what exactly would you say would be your calling when it comes to being a shaman? Who do you work with? How do you help people? And what is the role of a shaman in this modern day and age?
Yes, modern shamanism. So I would say that, let's talk about consciousness here a little bit, because that's the key to happiness or enlightenment, which is probably the highest frequency we have, even higher than love and peace. So I would say that the shaman is here to help his tribe or to help society, to help humanity evolve. And we're smack dab in the middle of it right now. As you know, we're in a transition period. We're going from the ego-based consciousness to a heart-based consciousness. So shamans are needed more than ever right now. Now, there's nothing like shamanism, for example, to show you, or there's nothing like experiential knowledge, rather, or direct revelation to transform you for the better, to increase your consciousness.
Yeah.
And shamanism is the way of direct revelation through visions, not hallucinations. There are hallucinations sometimes, but when you get a little bit more experience, you'll know the difference between visions and hallucinations.
Mm.
And experiential knowledge is probably the best way for somebody to change their limiting beliefs about who they are, what the cosmos is, about new realities. So, for example, I believe most of my students and a lot of people around me don't know who they really are. To me, you are a spiritual. We are spiritual beings first and foremost, living in this duality here on Earth, to remember, remember with God, Goddess, Source, Creator, and to co-create and manifest our divinity here and now. That's why we're here. But that's, again, my belief. So that belief, once it starts in the head and the mind, and then it falls down into the heart and it's integrated, you're a different person. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult not to be peaceful and joyful when you have that belief that's inculcated in you.
So what would you say is the end goal? So you mentioned that we are moving from an ego-based consciousness to more of a heart-based consciousness. Yes. So what is the goal that we're trying to achieve, or how, what would that look like, moving from ego to heart-based?
Well, less duality, less violence in the world, correct? So once you know who you are, you're not going to hurt your brother. Wars would disappear, violence would disappear, would be a lot more loving to each other, a lot kinder. So I personally am tired of the duality. I've been through a lot of wars in my lifetime, and violence, and suffering, and pain. Pain is unavoidable, I agree, but suffering is avoidable. Suffering is of the mind. So having said that, we are evolving, correct? But I think that humanity is still in the fetus stage when it comes to consciousness. We still haven't taken off yet, you know. So for me personally, my vision and mission in the world is to help people connect with their higher selves, which is a particle of God or the divine self in you. And the particle or part contains the whole, as we know. So we're all little gods here, little particles of God. And once we realize that, things change.
But Mark, I have a question for you, and this is something that's always been on my mind. So as part of moving from ego-based to heart-based, mm-hmm. wouldn't it be necessary to have this duality? Because there are certain qualities that you can only build when you go through pain or hardships, right? Definitely. So let's say if the goal is to be more heart focused, which is love, peace, kindness, would only ever value that if there is that duality of fear, harshness, and horrible things, right?
Yes, we do need evil.
Yeah.
Or else we wouldn't have diseases, wouldn't have doctors, we wouldn't have art. Yes, I agree with you, but humanity hopefully is evolving. So yes, I agree that sometimes experiences, harsh experiences, are necessary for us to experiment. Again, it's called experiential knowledge, and for us to become more conscious, definitely. But the point is, I think that once we start becoming more conscious, we start to embrace this duality and transcend this duality. I'm personally one person that is tired of the duality game.
Mm.
And I believe that the more conscious you become, the less painful it is. At least there's less suffering. Now, wouldn't you like to see a world that's a little bit more loving, without any wars, at least that?
Mm, right.
Well, you see, there you go.
So it's very much like the Buddhist philosophy as well, right? Because they're very big on this whole concept of suffering.
Yes.
And being in the cycle of desires, and hence why it's like this endless cycle of...
Yes.
And that cycle is in some way a suffering, and it's transcending that, like you said.
Yes, and they accept that.
So,
but I wanted to add one thing, because you see, mystics never fight amongst each other, but religious people still do.
That is actually quite true.
So yes, I agree with what you're saying. All mystics actually agree on everything. We have mystics in every culture, but it's the religious fanatics that are causing a little bit of problems. We can go back to the Tibetan poisons, the three poisons. You have aggressiveness, which is represented by the serpents, we have ignorance represented by the pig, and then we have greed represented by the rooster. If we get rid of those three poisons, we're going to be pretty well off.
Wow.
That takes a little bit of work.
So how do these shamanic practices come into play? And what does a shamanic experience look like?
Okay. Well, again, there are different types of shamans all over the world. You have three levels. You have the sorcerers, white and black sorcerers. Then you have the real healers. And then you have what I call personally the ascended master consciousness.
Right.
So you have different levels of shamans. But if you want to talk about rituals, is that what you're asking me?
Yeah. So, I'm very curious about these three levels. So
well, we can get into that.
Yeah.
Too. But, the basics, like any healer would do, you have smudging with sage, you have smudging cedar wood or cedar branches, which is good to remove entities, negative entities.
So what does smudging actually do? Because on the outside, it looks like you're burning a plant, but what does it actually do?
Well, the intent is gone into the smoke, or the intent of the spirit of sage, for example, is to clean or clear the area, is to bring in peace and harmony, is to balance the chakras, is to integrate, digest, and process whatever that person is going through. There are many uses for the smudging.
Mm.
Cedar, like I said before, cedar is great to remove entities, negative entities, if you have any in the room, the sacred space, before it's sacred. And you have mapacho, which is jungle tobacco. We use also with an intent to clean and clear the chakras or clean the room. It's called jungle tobacco as well. So you don't inhale it. You smoke it and with an intent. And then you blow out the intent in the smoke on the person's crown chakra or whatever. So that's smudging, basically. Besides smudging, you have grounding. You ground to Mother Earth and you receive her strength, her energies. You have also navigating visual spaces or navigating sacred spaces. You have also receiving your guides, like receiving your principal guide, receiving your principal animal guide or your power animal, receiving your transformational guide. So you have a bunch of helpers. God, Creator, has a bunch of helpers. Even though I'm sure she or he could do that easily, but I think it's more of a big family when it comes to shamanism. You have a lot of guides happening. And once you receive your guides, then you can start journeying to the underworld or upper world. You can journey to the underworld with your guides, to the place of healing, to a place of knowledge.
And does this happen through a certain trance-like state?
Through the imagination, yes.
Right.
Yes. Yes, we are in non-ordinary states, and via the imagination, which is the door to the spiritual world, it's not what we consider the imagination, the Western world, you know, the imagination is a fantasy. Or
because how would we know this isn't a figment of our own imagination, like, you know?
Well, good point. Everybody, my students always ask me that, and the truth is, with time, you'll know the difference, but it takes a little bit of practice. So, yeah, it's actually called the imaginal. Not the imagination, the imaginal. There's a difference. Rumi talks about that. And in the Arab cultures, they talk about at-takhayyul, Michel Khayyil, for example. So it's a matter of practice. Again, it's experiential knowledge, direct revelation. It needs to be experienced. It's something, it's ineffable. So when it comes to that, journeying to the underworld, for example, to the place of planning. No, that's in the upper world, to the place of healing or place of knowledge, or journeying to connect your heart with the sun and warm up the sun, the heart, or journeying to the place of planning where we plan our next lifetimes, etc., to clear our karma. All this is very awakening. And I'm one who doesn't come from a spiritual or religious background. It just hit me and hit me and hit me until I finally woke up a little bit. I'm still waking up, I guess. So, yeah. Having said that, it's a fantastic world. It's really something I'm very passionate about, because unlike most of my friends, I don't like talking about cars too much or whatnot.
But would you say it's quite? Does it ever get heavy for you, knowing what you know, yet also having to live the life that you have to live?
That's a good question. I'll tell you why. Because many times I wanted to leave this duality world, but the guides brought me back. And there is some pain involved, yes. For example, I was in the jungle, Peruvian jungle, and I was attacked by a bunch of sorcerers, almost died. And
why is that like a common thing? Like you go to the jungle of Peru and casually get attacked by sorcerers.
Well, that's where we do ayahuasca and other plant medicines ceremonies. And,
okay.
They don't like the white man very much. They don't want to give them their secrets. We're a threat. You know, we're going down there. It's not our culture, and we want the secrets. We want to work with ayahuasca.
Yeah.
But things are changing very fast. But some people have died because they did it in dangerous conditions. And some people are attacked, not by one or two or three, but by many black sorcerers. And
the intention of these attacks by these so-called black sorcerers, what do they gain out of it?
Well, they don't want you in their world, basically. The brujos, we call them brujos.
Okay.
They don't want to divulge their secrets, and they feel like you're impeding on their territory.
Okay.
So
just like how you have dogs marking their territory, you have that kind of territorialness.
Well, if you look back at the history, the white man was not very nice to the people in Peru and that area as a whole. So I think there's some karma there as well.
So it's quite challenging for me to grasp my head around the fact that, so surely if you are, whether you are a white or a black sorcerer, if you're a shaman in that level, you would surely in some way be a little bit more aware of, you know, things that a common layman would know.
You would think.
I mean, yes. I suppose that one would be more aware, right? But why is that? It feels like regardless whether you are someone who is working in Dubai versus someone who's in the jungles of Peru working like as a shaman, it almost seems like you're still human at the end of the day, having jealousy, anger, being territorial. Like, what's the difference? What's the whole point of being in touch with these spiritual realms if at the end of the day you still have these fundamental emotions?
It's a very good question, and I used to think the same way. But the truth is, if you're a shaman, it doesn't mean you're conscious. It means you're skilled, but doesn't necessarily mean you're conscious.
Interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting.
That's a big fallacy that a lot of people make. Oh, he or she is a shaman. She must be so conscious. Not true at all. Brujos are not necessarily very conscious. I mean, there are a lot of power plays, a lot of deaths. I mean, I was in a weak position because of some, you know, a lot of my family members died recently, so it was weakened by that and sad, and they hit me when I was at rock bottom, and I had surgery, 6 artery bypasses, and I don't have cholesterol. I didn't have any problems whatsoever. I eat right.
Was a byproduct of a black or a dark
direct psychic attacks.
Wow.
And this time they got me. I mean, I've done all right in the past, but this time they got me. So I have a big scar from here.
So could you explain to us, how does these psychic attacks work?
Well, it's all energy, right? Where focus goes, energy flows, right? So they're very powerful, and the world has not awakened to this, but you can heal from a distance. We know from resonance therapy how important vibrations are and frequencies are. So it's not something new. Quantum physics explains that pretty well. So they just, you know, have their own agendas. They're power plays usually, you know, about money or whatever. But again, they're not all like that, but they're a lot like that. And there are the real healers, and there are the really ascended master consciousness shamans. These are very few. You have a couple in Peru and the Shipibo tribe and other tribes, mestizo tribes. These are wonderful human beings.
Wow.
But again, there are power plays, you know, over there. So you have to be really vigilant.
And how does one know that they are under a psychic attack or some form of energy play?
Okay, that's a very good question as well. If you're a little bit aware, you're going to feel something. Okay, so yes, some people have been attacked and didn't even know it. I found out I was being attacked. I felt it.
And how does that feel like?
Well, it doesn't feel very good. I'll tell you that. But again, yeah, you need to be aware of energies. You know, the more conscious you become, the more you understand that you can manipulate energies, you can shift energies. And then you become aware to other people's energies. I'm an empath, so I feel people's energies pretty fast. Sometimes I go into a restaurant and I have to get out because it's too negative. Or, you know, most empaths are like that. But we also need to protect ourselves. There's a lot of protection work in shamanism as well. When we journey with our guides protect us. But there are other type of protections, you know, with sacred geometry. And you know, it's a whole course. So the point is, it's worth it. See, I take chances, but calculated chances. And to me, it's worth it. It's what gives life pep and passion. And I am a passionate person. But I did pay the price. I paid a high price.
Wow. And and this will be one of that.
Yeah, but now I'm receiving some good energies from around the world. And I'm living in living my mission and vision, and I don't have the fears I used to have before. I'm not really afraid of physical death, because after that you're bathing in love. And I've experienced that in many psycho-spiritual deaths. I'm a lot calmer. Like Yogananda said, choose peace. Before was I would choose excitement and fun and adventure. Now I'm more into the calm, peaceful stuff, and a lot happier, because it's more permanent than the excitement or extreme joy.
Yeah.
Or a pleasure. So I kind of calmed down. Maybe I became a little bit wiser because I got my ass kicked so many times that I finally learned my lesson. So I guess that's it, yeah.
So from your perspective, after being involved in the shamanic world and maybe being exposed to other shamans as well, what would you say is a common theme for shamans, if there is any? Is there like a common message that needs to be shared with the world, or is there a common lesson that you as a shaman need to learn for yourself that you've observed? Anything like that?
Well, again, you have many types of shamans, but let's go to the ascended masters, and let's go to the real healers. You know, there are spiritual truths out there. We are all connected energetically, yes. We're all one, yes. We are spiritual beings, yes. These are what the mystics, I call them mystics, share. So there are spiritual truths out there, but it's time to now integrate, digest, and process these truths and really live them practically right here and now, as many of the masters would say. And presence is the key. Shamans don't call it presence, but they're very present. I mean, the shamans I worked with, some of them were crazier than I am, but a lot of them, let's say, were very present. You don't need to use ayahuasca to be a shaman, by the way. You don't have to be an ayahuasquero to be a shaman, or medicinal plants.
Because that seems like the common idea that everybody thinks, okay, if you want to be a shaman or be associated with these spiritual practices, you need to do ayahuasca or some form of...
No, you don't have to. I love ayahuasca personally, but you don't have to. Again, presence, no mind. I mean, you have this in every culture. You know, the egoic mind goes to the future or to the past, or you tell stories to yourself about other people and situations or about yourself. You know, it's like a cross. You don't want the egoic mind to go here, here, here. Or here. You want to be in the middle, focused, present, trusting of the universe. That's a big one.
Interesting. And and why is that?
Well, because nowadays it's kind of rough and tough, and we're going through an evolution. So if you're not going to, you know, come up to par and make an effort to awaken and work on yourself, you're probably going to go through a lot of pain. Let's just put it that way.
So what would you say are certain rituals or practices that our listeners can do on a daily basis that can help them?
Well, mindfulness is something that's pretty simple. Presence is a little bit more intense than mindfulness, if you will. There's more of a spiritual element. Presence, I would really suggest that people, you know, buy a book by Eckhart Tolle. He's very well known.
Power of Now.
Extremely important book. Shamans do it, but they don't talk that way. Their language is a little bit different than ours. But they're very focused, especially in ceremony when they sing Ikaros. You know, and I sing Ikaros as well. They taught me well.
What is that?
Ikaros are sacred songs that come from the plants that you use in ceremony to heal somebody or to guide or work with ayahuasca, the spirit of ayahuasca.
I wanted to ask you about this word heal. So you mentioned, okay, you have the shamans, you have the light and dark sorcerers, you have the shaman, the healers, and then you have the ascended masters, right? And you also mentioned how shamans, the main aim is to help heal and raise the consciousness. So could you define this word healing? Because for instance, and you know, I could be wrong, but wouldn't healing just be relief of pain or misery or discomfort?
Yes.
For instance, let's say if someone is having an argument, I'm thinking very drastically here, but let's say if they manage to like shoot the other person for a moment, it can be healing, right? So, you know, this is quite extreme, but what I'm trying to say is, isn't the word heal or healing very subjective?
Well, I think we agreed that healing is moving towards wholeness. it's not necessarily kneeling from a healing from a cancer or an inflammation or IBS or whatever, or depression. It's more moving towards wholeness. So I would say that you can heal emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually, and energetically. So when I say mentally, it's about healing those limiting beliefs that are hurting everyone on the planet and hurting ourselves. When I say healing emotionally, I'm talking about transcending our karma and transcending the excess fear, anger, guilt, stress, sadness, loneliness, boredom, frustration, depression. When I say healing energetically, I mean raising your frequency. Oh, they all come together. They're intertwined anyway.
Yeah.
But most people understand healing healing from a dis-ease or a disease. And it's all connected. If you raise your frequency long enough, you're going to heal from anything. So nowadays, the technology is kind of catching up with spirituality, even though technology has evolved a lot more than the spiritual aspect of in humanity. But in certain places, we have certain countries now, and where I'm bringing this machine to the Middle East, it's about resonance therapy. And we have a little machine that can raise your frequency pretty to a high extent, for a while at least. So that person will feel great for a while, but then will leave the room and then start thinking negatively and this and that. And so their frequency will go down. But this is a machine that's going to help healers and therapists like myself a lot. So I'm really excited. I'm actually waiting for the machine to arrive the next 2 days here.
Here
at Illuminations.
Wow. So we get to experience that with you. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
So before we end the episode, is there any story, any message that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, I have many stories and many messages, but I think that the most important one, again, would be, I'll end it with a story.
Yes.
There's an old king far, far away that dies, and his son, very immature, very young, that takes over his father's kingdom. And he asks his guides, and he solicits his guides and says to his guides, "Please, I'm very young. I need to rule this kingdom very wisely. Go to the four corners of the world and bring me the wisdom, the secrets of wisdom. Be gone now." So they all leave, and then 20 years later, some of them died on the path. And 20 years later, now the young king is in his mid-40s. And they bring thousands and thousands of books to him. He said, "What are you doing? You know, I'm not going to read these thousands of books that you brought me. Be gone and bring me some resume on these books so I can use them practically before I die." So they go again. They come back 20 years later. Now the king is in his 60s, and they bring hundreds of books. And the king says, no, not good enough. Get out of here. Bring me a resume, something I can use now practically. So they come back 20 years later. The king is on his dying deathbed, and they all died except for one advisor. And he says, "What have you done? I've been waiting my whole life for the wisdom of of life to rule wisely, but now I'm old and I'm on my deathbed. What have you done? Please give me a sentence. Give me something before I die." So the wise advisor comes close to the king's ear and whispers in his ear. He says, "The secret to wisdom is living the present moment."
Wow. Yeah. That's beautiful.
So it's a very profound, actually. It took me a couple of decades to get that one. But that's something that I think that is key. So that would be my message to everybody.
And is there anything that you can share that can help people be a little bit more aware or be more present on a day-to-day basis?
Sure. If you close your eyes and you feel your internal energy body or feel the vibrations, or if you breathe really fast and feel those vibrations in your hands and feet, I'm sure I feel them all the time. If you feel those vibrations are the aliveness of your cells. It's what gives your body life, the chi, the life force. It's actually your higher self. So it's what gives your body life. It animates your body. Now, if you're in touch with your higher self a lot more, then you're going to make wiser decisions, and not from your egoic mind, but from your higher self. So listen to those vibrations.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mark. It's been such a pleasure to have you here. Before we close, there is something that you've brought in today with you.
Yes.
And I would love for you to share what this is.
Well, this is a shakapa. It's a tool of the shaman. And we use it for many, many reasons, to open up gateways or to clear energies. So I'm always using this. Some healers use their hands.
Yeah.
They go like this, you know. Yeah. Shift energies. I love using this. I'm just used to it. I call it invoke the archangels, actually, with my shakapa here.
And what is it made of?
I can't remember the name of the leaves, but these leaves were made, and I picked them in Peru with a shaman I was working with, and I put it together, and I've been using this for a while now. So this is the tool of the shaman, the main tool of the shaman, the shakapa.
Shakapa. Yeah. Thank you to all the listeners tuning in today. I hope this episode was very insightful. And if any of you would like to get in touch with Mark, he is here at Illuminations. He will be here for some time. So definitely book in your sessions. And until next time, take care and live life.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.